Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins. I'll be playing some great game tracks, and I hope you enjoy. Have a listen. As a gamer, I play a lot of games. That's kind of what a gamer actually means, or, you know, just to someone who likes to play games, I play a lot of games, and I think I should stop this redundant line of questioning. But the fact of the matter is that no gamer, well, barely ever, with exceptions, is a true gamer, as in they don't play every single sort of game out there. And indeed, I'm not even, some gamers even actually take pride in not playing a particular genre of games, which to me sounds pretty silly, because I mean, like, unless you actually play it, you won't know whether you like it. And maybe if you do play it, then maybe it's not your bag, and that's fine and everything. But the simple fact is that games come in many shapes and many forms. And the real truth is, even without going into pride issues, a lot of people prefer their own set of genres. I'm no exception. I favor some types of games and not others. But it also means that they can be very, like, huge threads or incredibly popular styles and genres of games out there that a given gamer mightn't actually play. What all this is kind of leading up to is one gigantic area of a genre of video games called visual novels, which I haven't played a lot, but are very popular. In fairness, a lot of its popularity is in Japan and the Far East sort of area. The visual novels are very popular there, and they're less popular in the West, although given the fact that Japan's games go everywhere, you see inspirations in visual novels everywhere. So the question is, what exactly are visual novels? Well, essentially, they're kind of what the name says. Their primary focus is in characters and visuals and story, and generally what you're looking at when you look at the screen is three things. One is a background showing like a classroom, a construction site, whatever. In the midground, you've basically got a character portraits, you know, them showing usually the characters from the waist up. And at the bottom of the screen, there's a dialogue showing all their text, which you can fast forward of it. And a lot of these games can consist of reading a lot of text, or if the voice is enabled, hearing them talk. And so it's a great, that's the core mechanics of it, but the general idea is that you're being told a story. You see these characters, you see their emotions change, usually there's beautiful art on the screen, and you basically get to hear all of them go through their own little story and figure out and listen to what's going on. Now, before I go any further, I think I'm going to play some music from a very simple game, a very simple example of a visual novel. Now, one thing, in case you haven't noticed, is, wait a sec, if it's telling you a story, do you actually have any choice in how this story plays out? And before I go into that and try to answer that question, I think I'll just play some music from one very simple and small game and talk a bit more about the subject then. Sounds like a plan? Well, I kind of hope it is, because I'm the one calling the shots here. So if you don't like it, I'd be slightly disappointed, and I wouldn't actually be able to know if you objected or not. Oh well. Have a listen. Very nice, isn't it? A lot of visual novels focus on that element of just going for the emotion and the poignancy stuff. Since a lot of it is inspired by Japan, a lot of these visual novels are inspired by manga, which are Japanese comics, and anime, which is Japanese cartoons. And despite them all dealing with a vast variety of genres from sci-fi and fantasy and you know, high school and everything else, a lot of them tend to be have a very focus on characters and soft emotions and good music. And that comes across in a lot of the visual novels. But just because, but that actual specific song there was from actually a very short, simple, free visual novel called Ripples, which actually takes only 10 minutes to play. That's different from a lot of visual novels out there, which can take hours or whatever. But there's actually a kind of a story behind it. And before I say the story, why don't I just play one more track and I'll just explain that. Both games I played just there were by Seg Visual, and the music was by Mark Conrad Tabula. The game is a very short little thing, and I actually like the story behind it. Essentially, there was the writer of this game had basically played a lot of visual novels, and I mean, I've played a fair few myself. I mean, I've even played music on the game where games that were inspired by visual novels, like Ace Attorney and that Hotel Dusk video game I talked about. But the fact is that one of her friends was feeling down in the dumps, and she wanted to cheer him up. So she tried to figure out the right thing to do, and in the end, you know, I suppose there's always talking and everything, but to cheer him up and show extra thought, she basically created a video game. Yep, it was Ripples. And she basically made it on, based it using the engine called the RenPy, which is this very basic this engine which is designed for people who want to make visual novel games, you know, with the graphics and everything. And she got to grips with it and worked out the programming and stuff, and because it was relatively easy to pick up but still tricky, and made this nice little game that taught this nice story. She released it also online after showing it to her, giving it to her friend, and I hope that the friend was cheered up by it all right. But it touched a chord with a lot of people. The story is fairly simple, actually. A guy is feeling depressed and feeling everyone is just putting on airs and no one really has confidence in himself, and he's feeling down about himself and that nothing he does ever matters, which I think we're all, I think we can all feel a little like that from time to time. But then, you know, he goes down to the park and meets this girl who has these cookies, and they start up a conversation, and then he leaves and then comes back and meets her again. And it's a very simple story. I mean, it's not like a heavy romance or anything like that. Nothing that over the top or ostentatious, but just by talking with her and learning a bit about her and thinking and communicating, suddenly his world opens up a little, and he just starts to see that there are many different types of people in the world, and that they are certain types which are worth them, you know, talking to and options and ideas. And it's just, by the end, he hasn't suddenly become a cheerleader, but he's suddenly looking at the world in a slightly different, more positive way, and where it goes from there, who can tell. And that's what's kind of nice about the game. It's short and it's sweet, but it really kind of opens you up that, you know, things aren't always depressing or uncertain as they are, and there's always things that can surprise you and make you feel good about what's going on. So basically, that was the writer of that game was Ayu Sakata, and that was kind of like, I think, her first game, and she wrote it out, and a lot of people really liked it. So she started working on it more, and worked on more games, worked more on learning how to program properly, and it started her making a whole lot of visual novel games. And she also developed, kind of got a team from around the world. I mean, you know, she got a graphic designer in Chile, and of course the person I just talked about, Mark, who was, you know, a composer. And by working together, they started developing more and more games, and especially they did a remake of Ripples. So Ripples didn't originally have that soundtrack, but with the remake and with Mark Tabula's work, that's what it sounded like in the end. So that was a the start of something really positive and something really nice. And they made a few more games. And one of them, I'm going to play a bit more music from now. This is actually from another game called Jisai, which also by Sake Visual, which is kind of the company that takes care of making the games, which Ayu, Sakata, and sort of worked with founding with the others. And essentially, Jisai has a very interesting idea, a completely different approach. This time we're talking about more like supernatural crime genre, which, you know, is very different. You're following someone who is a power. You don't know his name throughout the game and they don't really reveal it. But when he touches a dead body, he instantly gets a feeling of the last memories of that person's death, which, as you can imagine, is incredibly creepy and kind of scary. Of course, he's going through a coffee shop, and just like with practically every single crime fiction out there where a guy has a certain ability or skill in solving a crime, he goes to a completely innocent place which just so happens to have a murder take place in it, and suddenly gets involved with criming. Basically, he goes to a coffee shop, a woman is murdered in the bathroom, and he touches it to try to get an idea of what her final moments were, and then suddenly gets rounded up by an off-duty detective and a bunch of suspects, and he has to figure out, okay, who is the real killer, because otherwise suspicion is definitely falling upon him. So that's how the game is, and to be honest, it's kind of a short game, a few hours, and it is paid, this one, but Jisai has actually got a really nice approach to it, pretty good quality, a lot of characters, and there's a whole, of course, idea that there is a crime to solve and you've got to figure out who the one to solve it is. Now, before I play it a little bit more, I'm going to just play the actual kind of theme tune of it, which is pretty nice. It's by Oral Wave, which is by Mark Tabula and Michelle, who is Mark's wife. So they're kind of like, you know, when he composes music by himself, it's just Mark Tabula, but Oral Wave is the collaboration of the two. And the tune is Calling to the One. And it's kind of like the real main theme tune of Jisai. And I'll play it now for you. Have a listen.
Yeah.
that, as I said, was Calling to the One by Aural Wave from Jesse by Sake Visual. As I say, it's kind of a nice game. It's a little short and it's got a nice kind of detective theme to it. And, you know, that's Jesse. So I think it's time to move on to another track now. And here's the thing. I think I'll play music from a sequel to a game that I played music to before, which kind of is not unusual. So I'm not sure why I'm bringing much of an attention to it. It's why don't I just play it? And that quite fantastic track was from Earthworm Jim 2. It was composed by Tommy Tallarico, and of course the game was developed by Shiny Interactive. I talked about Earthworm Jim before. He's basically a video game character, but is also pretty much remembered for its 90s TV animated series, which I played the theme tune of a while back. The games, of course, had a guy who was basically an earthworm in a gigantic robotic suit with a ray gun, blasting through all these crazy levels and, you know, twisted environments. And it was fun, and it was insane, and you were trying to rescue Princess What's-Her-Name, and I didn't just forget, that's literally her name, and especially trying to defeat the villain Cy Crow, who's basically a crow who's psycho, and yeah, you see where it goes. It did plenty of complete twists and turns and absolutely everything. I remember, I think in the first game, like I said, you were in hell, and or Keck, I think it was called, but it was like hell, and one of the most vicious enemies you had to deal with were lawyers. But the second game takes things in a new direction. Well, how do I explain it? A complete new direction. I remember when I heard this game talked about in a video game show, it basically said something to the effect of, the developers of this game haven't fallen into the trap of making the sequel exactly like the original. When I actually played the sequel, I found out that they took so many different twists on the formula. The first game was a lot of you running around, shooting things with your gun, jumping, platforming, getting from one place to another, and overall just trying to do absolutely everything you could to get to the end of the level. But the second game suddenly introduced a heck of a lot of twists and turns to the formula. In one level, you're basically doing bungee jumping with another guy and you have to knock him off before he knocks you off. In another game, you've got this whole isometric thing of you flying around in your jetpack, you know, rocket thing, trying to shoot at all these enemies, and it's a completely different genre shift. Another thing has, basically, you've got Peter Puppy, who's your friend, but when he gets hurt, he turns into a gigantic monster and mauls you. You basically have to make sure that he's not, you've got this whole level dealing with him, which I think there was something like that in the original game as well. And then, of course, and I only actually remembered this recently, there was one level where basically a bunch of cows were standing around. They kept getting abducted by UFOs, so you had to defeat all the UFOs before they abducted the cows. A lot of crazy stuff, all right. You also got this slime sidekick, who of course also appeared in the TV series, and a lot of crazy stuff, like one level absolutely ends with a random quiz with quite nonsensical answers that you still have to try to get right. A lot of crazy stuff. As you can hear, that the music from this game is pretty damn awesome. It's, as I said, by Tommy Tallarico. I played a lot of his music on this game before. On top of that, he actually takes a lot of inspiration from classical music. For instance, Moonlight Sonata plays on one of the levels where basically you put on a blind salamander suit for no particular reason and going around the cave, you know, I think the level is called Earthworm Jim is a blind cave salamander. And for that whole level, for some reason, you're flying around as a salamander trying to shoot enemies and try to get to the end of the level for reasons I can't quite understand. And then you're hit with that quiz I talked about earlier. But during that, Moonlight Sonata plays, so there's a lot of great music. But, I thought that I'll leave you with a track. The two music tracks I've been playing have been Subterranean and Anything But Tangerines, both from Tommy Tallarico. And I think I'll leave you with the next track and end the show with it. So, Earthworm Jim, a crazy game, great soundtrack, a lot of somewhat non-sequitur levels, but a fun experience nonetheless. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.